welcome to the Better Spearfishing Podcast, where we talk all things spearfishing. If you want to improve your spearfishing and hear some wild stories, you've come to the right place.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Better Spearfishing Podcast. Thanks for coming and joining me. So the topic of today's podcast is actually from a talk that I went to by William Trubridge. So William has been doing a tour of Australia, and he gave a talk at Adreno here in Perth. And so I went along to that, and it was very interesting. For those who don't know, William is, he's basically a world-class and world-record-holding free diver. And I think he had been running some courses here in Perth. And this was just really a little free talk that he gave to the community, which, you know, he got to share what he's learned. And the format that he used, it was really good, because it was just a very short talk on who he is and his experience, his background. And then it was open questions for the audience, and we got all kinds of different questions, and he would then answer them, you know, fairly comprehensively. And anyway, so this is really, you know, what did I take away from that talk? Because there was a lot of information. So I think the first thing that I took away is, it's something I mentioned previously on one of the other podcasts. It's actually how much there is to free diving and how much there is to the sport. When William was speaking and talking about, you know, all these technical aspects of free diving, and I'm sort of thinking, well, before I went, I thought, yeah, basically I've done a few free diving courses, and yeah, I'll, you know, have a rough idea how it all works. And then when William starts talking, you just realize, nope, I don't know anything. You realize that, you actually know nothing compared, you know, what he's forgotten is not even worth knowing, or I haven't even learned yet. That's, I guess, my overall summary of it. But in terms of some of the specifics, so let's just go down the things that stuck in my mind that William said that I thought were very interesting. So the first thing is, When he was talking about free diving, he said, if you think about most sports are played on, they're played in air. So as a human, you are in air, or you are on the boundary between air and a liquid, water. So, you know, if you think swimming, you know, that is on the boundary. You are doing it on top of the water and you are breathing air. Basically, every single human sport that you can think of, you know, running, soccer, horse riding, Formula One racing, flying rockets, anything, it's basically in a gas. So we are doing it standing on a solid standing on top of a liquid, but we are immersed in a gas. Or immersed in the liquid, but we're still connected to the gas, the air that we breathe. And free diving is really the only one where you are immersed in liquid and you do not have access to the gas. And he actually made an interesting analogy. He said, well, scuba diving, you're really taking down an air full of gas in a bottle with you while you're in a liquid. So you still have contact to the air as if, you know, it's sort of in an artificial way, but you still have access to the air as if you were, you know, on the surface of the water. So anyway, that was a really interesting thing to think that, you know, it's probably the only sport where we are doing it fully immersed in a liquid without access to air. So, you know, that makes it kind of unique on its as a starting point. Then William was talking about his evolution and what did he do that sort of led to his biggest gains in free diving? And of course, this is going back a few years. And he was saying that, back when he was starting, there were theories that people were looking at the big marine mammals and saying humans should be able to, we should do what they do if we want to be able to dive deeper. So, for example, things like sperm whales that dive to, I don't know, the depth. It's ridiculous. It's hundreds of meters deep. And they hold their breath for God knows how long, hours. They don't actually take a big breath when they dive. What happens is they'll relax and breathe up on the surface, and then they'll, you know, obviously take some air, and then they dive. They don't take a big giant lungful before they dive. So at the time, there was a thought that we should do the same, that possibly we over... I don't know the full technical reasons why, but the idea was that humans would be able to dive better if we did not take a huge, big, giant lung full of air before we dived. And anyway, so this is what William had been training. He had been training to dive without trying to take as much air as he could. And he said he kept on coming up against a barrier at, you know, whatever depth was his deepest, and he just was finding it hard to move forward. And then when studies were done, and they realized that the way that the marine mammals are actually different to humans, in the sense that they store a lot of the oxygen in their blood. Again, I'm not sure on all the technical details, but something about the composition of their blood and how it all works, it stores a lot of oxygen in their blood. Humans don't do that. We don't store nearly as much oxygen in our blood as the marine mammals do, the dolphins and the whales and all of the rest, otters and seals and stuff. So what that means is we can't do the same thing they do diving on an exhale dive. So William said he then started focusing on increasing, I think, lung volume and doing things like packing mouthful technique. So it's a way to basically gulp a little bit of extra air in and basically maximize the amount of air that you're taking down. And he said just doing that was the biggest jump that he experienced. So basically just taking more air. And if he's listening to this, I'm sure I'm massively oversimplifying this whole thing. So yeah, hopefully, you know, would be wonderful to have him on the podcast one day. Yes. Okay. So there was that. Now, the other thing that William spoke about a lot, which is, you know, it's quite interesting. If you haven't, you know, studied or the free diving much or thought about it much, this might be, you know, surprising to you. He spoke a lot about meditation and relaxation and, you know, things that almost bordered on, you know, spirituality. So he would talk a lot about doing like body scans to relax and, you know, being able to let go of, you know, your attachment to things and being able to just completely relax your state. And I mean, there's good reasons for this. What he said, you know, in terms of a practical sense, he said, when you're diving down there, yes, you might have safety divers, but they, you know, they're relatively shallow. And if you're doing a deep dive, you're down there alone. If anything goes wrong, if you panic, you're dead. So the only thing that keeps you alive is your ability to stay calm when things go wrong. Because at some point, you know, if you do anything long enough, something will go wrong. And it's your ability to keep calm and not panic to react, you know, negatively, not panic and your heart rate goes up. You know, if your heart rate goes up while you're doing this, you know, that's it. So he spoke a lot about the meditation and then also mental exercises. And he kept stressing that, of course, there's a lot of physical training you have to do for deep spearfishing. Of course there is. But there's equally as much mental training that you have to do. And the example that he gave is, I think it was a record breaking dive that he did that was very difficult. And he said that afterwards he worked out that he had used 7 different mental techniques during that dive. And, you know, just the thought that you've got 7 different mental techniques to draw upon, I mean, that's interesting in itself. It shows that, you know, how many dozen does this guy have that he can just pull out 7 and use them as he needs them. And it's interesting as well how he had to use different ones at different stages of the dive to overcome different situations or different feelings. So anyway, I thought that was really interesting. Now, what William's also done is he has developed a course on, I think it's an online course that you can register for and do online, and it's about mental training to deal with stress. It's not just for flea diving. What he's done is he's developed this course to say, you know, I am a world champion flea diver. I've had to develop all of these mental techniques to cope with this extremely stressful situation and remain calm under the, you know, physical pressure and stress and tension, how to keep calm no matter what. And that those techniques are also so useful in just everyday life. And so his course is, and I should just say, I'm not, you know, I've met him once at the talk. I'm not being sponsored to say this. You know, I'm not getting any kickbacks from this. But those techniques that he's developed, his idea is that basically anyone could use those same mental techniques to just make their own lives better and to deal with stress and you know, anxiety or whatever people are going through. So there was that. Then, okay, when we got to the, you know, there was many, many questions, and I asked him, well, what does he think would be the best training for spearfishing? And again, very interesting answer and quite insightful. So he does spearfish, obviously. He said he grew up basically living on a sailboat and sailing around. So, you know, he grew up in basically every day jumping off and swimming around in the ocean and catching fish and collecting food and all that. But for spearfishing, he said, training your carbon dioxide tolerance is probably the key thing, because you're probably going to get enough. You're unlikely to be pushing your levels of oxygen, but your carbon dioxide, that's the thing that makes you want to breathe. When you're holding your breath and you suddenly start getting the contractions and the, you know, diaphragm contractions, the urge to breathe, that is being triggered by carbon dioxide, basically the high and increasing levels of carbon dioxide. So he was saying that is a good thing to train, because in spearfishing, you may not have as much recovery time as you would need between dives. For example, as you surface from a dive, you've just surfaced and suddenly a game fish swims underneath you at 10 meters. You know, you say you're diving on a flasher. You can't spend another 2 minutes breathing up and getting all comfortable for another dive, because by then it's probably going to be gone. The fish is there, you need to dive. So that is basically, you have not had enough time for your body to get rid of all the carbon dioxide that would have built up from your previous dive. So this is actually what carbon dioxide training does. You hold your breath for the same amount of time, but you get less and less recovery time between each breath hold. That's just a carbon dioxide training table. So ideal for that sort of situation. The other situation he suggested is you dive down. Say you shoot a fish that lives in near a reef or a cave, and it rushes back to get into the cave. And now you're still holding your breath. You're on the same dive, but you've grabbed your shooting line, and now you're trying to pull the fish away from the reef so it doesn't reef you or get stuck in the reef. And so, you know, yes, you're burning oxygen. You're building up a lot of carbon dioxide in that situation. You're probably going to get the urge to breathe. So, you know, carbon dioxide training is a good thing for that. I guess that's the whole thing, carbon dioxide planning. So I thought just in terms of the mental techniques, obviously, William's got his whole thing that he's done. When I thought about that, I thought, okay, I only have probably two or three mental techniques that I will use, but I thought I would just share them. Even though this is meant to be a topic on about William's talk, but anyway, when I'm up on the surface and I need to relax, what I do, I've sort of come up with like little phrases that trigger the feeling, and I also do it while I'm meditating if I'm meditating or doing the training, because then what happens is that little phrase becomes like a trigger in your mind to do the same thing, that your mind associates that phrase or those words, that thought, with the physical response that you have. So whenever I'm training at home and I'm trying to relax and hold my breath, I always just say "cool as a cucumber." And it's a bit silly, but if you've ever been out in the sun all day and you come in and you're just tired and hot, and you've ever basically done what you see ladies do, where they'll slice cold cucumber and they'll lie and put it on their eyes, and just lie with the fan on them, and it's very soothing and cooling. It's almost like an aloe vera kind of sensation. But I just imagine that feeling of just cool and calm and just relax, just basically cool as a cucumber. That's like my little phrase, and I will do it while I'm training, so I'm constantly just thinking relax, relax, relax. Or sometimes I will just say relax, relax, and I'll just slowly be saying this in my mind to myself while I need to slow down and just slow down, either on the surface or when I get to the bottom. Say I see a really good fish and they in the distance, and I know I'm going to have to wait, like a big pink snapper, and it's wary, and I'm just going to have to wait until it comes close. I will just think, relax, relax. So that's sort of like a mnemonic. The other one that I have, and I find this one, okay, when you are hunting certain very wary fish, what you tend to find, and this is something that I've heard I've heard very good spear fishermen talk about this. They say that the peak of spearfishing capability is when you can mask your intent. So yes, you're there in the water, you're trying to hunt fish, you're looking for fish, but you don't want to give off the vibe and the energy of something that is out there trying to hunt fish. The minute you do that, the minute you start, looking really hard and looking for something, you actually scare them off. And I think we've all experienced this. When it is a closed season for a certain type of fish, you will dive and you will have that exact species basically swim right up to you, right in front of you, and you're thinking, oh my God, it's, if only I could catch this thing now, it'd be so easy. And then the minute you get a spear gun back in your hands, and it's open season, you never see them. Well, I would say that's probably related to this, showing your intent. And so often when I go on the bottom, if I see a wary fish that is the type that I want to catch, what I say to myself, so that I try to dissolve all intent, any intent that I have to like chase after and catch this fish, I just relax, I look into the reef, maybe I'll scratch it a little bit, but to let go of my desire to chase and catch that fish, I just say, be the water. And I sort of imagine myself just being part of the water, part of nature, just, this sounds cheesy, but basically just good vibes, no intent to catch anything, no intent to harm anything, just be the water. And that also slows me down. It calms me. I'm just enjoying being in that space. And I'm not you know, I'm not even trying to go for the fish, and you know, I'm almost ignoring it. I'm just focused on be the water. It's like a meditation. And what often happens then when I'm doing, if you're doing that, and you, it's really is like a meditation, like a mental state. You slow down. You can feel your heart actually slow down when you do this right. And often what will happen is the fish will come close, and you're no longer threatening to the fish. So, okay, what that, look, you know, back to William. Look, he had many great things that he said. My big thing is I wish I'd done a course with him while he was here. Hopefully, you know, next time, or maybe one of his online online training things. But yeah, it was just, yeah, really great to listen to someone who's that knowledgeable about all things free diving. And yeah, yet again, it just makes me realize how, you know, how little I know compared to someone like that. I mean, I think I've just given the example. I've got 3 mental techniques, you know, I think in total. And he's used 7 on 1 dive. So, you know, go figure. He's probably got dozens. So, yeah. Anyway, big thank you to William for coming and, you know, the talk. It was fantastic. And big shout out and thank you to Adrino for putting on the free event evening. Yeah. And I intend to do one as a fundraiser for the Interpacific Spearfishing Team sometime in January. So if you're in Perth in January, please come along. Okay, that's it for me. Thanks, everybody. Take care. Bye.